address a joint session that happened just after President Biden announced an Israeli ceasefire for hostages proposal. CBS's Margaret Brennan says he's trying to help Netanyahu.
He is dangling a lot of carrots out there to a politically embattled leader and really gestured to the pressure that's on the Israeli prime minister from the far right of his party.
The California Democrat Adam Schiff says he doesn't think newly convicted Donald Trump will get enough support to go back to the White House.
American people are going to have to ask themselves, do we really want a convicted felon to be the president of the United States? Do we want to turn the White House into a criminal enterprise? I think the American people are going to reject that.
A Connecticut woman is sentenced for her role in the murder of her boyfriend's estranged wife.
Total effective sentence. 20 years, execution suspended after 14 and one half years. 5 years probation.
Jennifer Dulos's body was never found. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about talking. That's right, singing about talking. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 23 tornadoes are now confirmed in Wisconsin so far this year. That's as many as Wisconsin gets in an average year. Tornado activity was especially bad last week. Three rounds of severe storms swept across Wisconsin on the 21st. Tens of thousands of homes and businesses were left without power. Expect First Lady Jill Biden to speak with urgency in Wisconsin tonight, much as she did at a recent campaign stop in Michigan.
We have to meet this moment as if our rights are at stake, because they are. As if our democracy is on the line, because it is.
Mrs. Biden is set to campaign at Milwaukee's Festa Italiana. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, June 3rd. In Wood County, the Property and Information Technology Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids School Board is invited to a building trades home tour from 4:30 to 5:30. Board committee meetings will run from 6 to 8 at the board office on Peach Street. In Portage County, the Health and Human Services Board meeting will begin at 4:30 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Stevens Point City Plan Commission meeting will take place at 6 p.m. in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. The Village of Whiting will hold their Plan Commission meeting at 5. In Adams County, the Workplace Safety Committee will meet from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. The Criminal Justice Coordinating Council meeting will also take place at the courthouse from 3:30 to 4:30. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the White Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a weekend series against the Chicago White Sox, and the Sox not doing well at all. They've lost 8 games in a row. Manager Pedro Grifol calling his players out this week.
We got no hit through 8. We had a pinch hitter break it up. The rest of the guys, not the rest of the guys, most of the guys were flat today, unacceptable. That's all I got, flat, period. Major league game, got to respect it. Pretty simple.
How do you and the coaching staff treat the guys after that?
I'm not going to talk about that.
Why does that happen?
I'm not going to talk about it.
What do you see about the events?
No adjustments. We didn't make any adjustments to this guy.
The Brewers in first place by 5 games, having won 5 of their last 7. College football, the Badgers announcing yesterday they're going to play 2 of their regular season games on Fridays, the August 30th game against Western Michigan, conflicting with many high school games being played that Friday night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly sunny and seasonal today, with highs hitting the mid-70s. Clouds thicken tonight, and chances of some scattered showers start to push in overnight, bringing us a damp start to the day tomorrow. We may see some storms by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at HerbalAspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from HerbalAspect.com. Code Devil Radio. DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at the DevilRadioSwag.com, because we got bills too.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next show, Brittany Merlot joins us to give us a look at the weather for the week ahead.
And John Plegman from ARDC of Brown County stops by to talk about sobriety night. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Damn, I felt like I should stand. Yesterday I stood and turned into a very good show. Some might say the greatest show ever.
I love the way you think, Crudy. Keep on standing, man. Keep on jawboning.
I'm still standing, Dom. 24 hours after the 34 guilty verdicts came down as we joined you on the 4 o'clock airwaves yesterday. Very exciting stuff. I slept like a baby last night. Maybe I mentioned that. Slept very good.
You're very energetic today, man. You're not mumbling your words.
There's pep in my step.
Yeah. Did you lose any weight? You look good, man. I
feel like I should have lost weight. Just in positive energy exerted yesterday.
A little lighter in your step today, man.
Oh, I'm lighter in my step, Dom. Here's what's interesting. The reaction to the Trump verdict. And I don't mean by sane people. I mean by the MAGA. And I told you, I was shocked. And you're like, shocked? I'm like, yeah, I think that's the word. I was shocked at just how far they're going. Because there was an opportunity, Dom, to say, well, this was a strategic decision. You know, what's the actual outcome? Well, Donald Trump's been convicted. Surely he's not going to prison. Probably not going to prison. I mean, if he goes to prison, it's because of his actions earlier today.
Well, lots of things could go into sentencing. He has lots of actions that could be taken into account.
But as a first offender, and these are still paperwork crimes that he was actually convicted of, the crime being the cooking of the books. And it's not a violent offense.
On the criminal side, but he was found civilly liable for rape.
That does not play a part to me.
I'm not clear that it doesn't. I can think anything can play a part in the sentencing. But we'll ask James Santel, our friend, U.S. attorney, at the bottom of the hour. But either way, as a practical matter, that seems like an offense to me.
Well, a prior civil forfeiture, I feel quite confident, is probably not the premise that would kick him from what?
How about defamation?
Probation?
Does that count as something? Defamation? I mean, that, you know, you got to pay a fine for that. Did it twice? Does that count for something? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think it does.
I'll defer. Your point being?
My only point being is it's really not that big a deal in the whole scheme of life. I mean, I wouldn't want to be under a couple of months house arrest, but that's the worst case scenario as I see it. If you just keep your mouth shut and say, you know, strategically, I chose not to testify because, you know, these aren't really substantial charges.
These are not. George Washington wouldn't testify. You say anything wrong, I could never do it. I wanted to.
What I have not understood is the attack on the system of justice. And I don't mean just from Trump. I mean from the entire Republican world, seemingly. I mean, one guy had courage, Larry Hogan. Larry Hogan, former governor of Maryland. Do you know the Trump team basically said, you are done for coming out and supporting the jury system and saying, you know, these are probably honest people that did their level best.
The quote from Governor Hogan, a GOP or a MAGA, a Trumpster, a Republican, quote, all Americans, calling on all Americans to respect the verdict and the legal process. Apparently that was not good enough for Trump's senior advisor, Chris LaCivita. You just ended your campaign. So if you don't bow hard enough, if you don't toe the line, if you don't say what Trump wants you to say, you're on the outs.
So I understand, Tom. You were taking notes. You watched the Trump speech. It was rambling. You'd have to take notes to follow.
It was. And I didn't see it live. I went back after. I was on hold for another thing, so it took some time. So I found it on the YouTubes. It might have been like CBS's feed. And I got through what I assume was most of it, but I think they cut him off. So although he was still talking, their talking heads took over. They had him on the background. But some of the highlights that I noted, and folks, you can join us as well, 844-967-2789. He started out, if this can happen to me, it can happen to you. If this can happen to me, it can happen to you. Well, it sounds like equal justice under the law, man. So if I committed fraud to cover up an affair for the furtherance of my political ambition in the middle, at the end of a campaign, then I could potentially be charged and convicted with not just the misdemeanors, but with a felony, because the two misdemeanors combined, one misdemeanor to cover up the other misdemeanor becomes the felony.
What, yeah, do you think he was going to go out there and speak with some legal nuance?
But that's how it's supposed to be. He's acknowledging equal justice under law as a bad thing. If this can happen to me, it can happen to you. Yeah, right, dude. But anyway, he talks to the president, calling up. This is all from Biden. Now, mind you, of course, it's not from Biden.
Now, we do have some of the sound. We could play it for the people.
Oh, let's do it.
Rich, get us started. Fire up.
Like millions of Americans who served not on Biden. Juries.
No. What?
This jury chose.
Let's do Trump. I'm talking about the rigged trial. Cut number 7.
It was a rigged trial. Earlier. We wanted a venue change where we could have a fair trial. We didn't get it. We wanted a judge change. We wanted a judge that wasn't conflicted. And obviously, he didn't do that.
We wanted Eileen Cannon to preside over this case.
Yeah. According to Trump, of course, no one's ever seen anything like it. I mean, Trump is involved in all sorts of like different issues and activities that no one's ever seen anything like it before. I mean, doesn't that tell you something about the man to begin with? Anyway, let's keep going from Trump rambling today. The failed DA, cut 8, please.
Nobody's ever seen anything like it. We had a DA who was a failed DA. Crime is rampant in New York, violent crime. That's what he's really supposed to be looking at.
He talked about some machete incident in a McDonald's in New York City shortly thereafter, did he not, Tom?
He's articulating all sorts of crimes that the failed DA apparently is not going after, but I imagine he will go after the machete-wielding attacker. Anyway, going on back to Trump, going to appeal it, don't you know? Cut number 9, please, Rich.
We're
going to
be appealing this scam. We're going to be appealing it on many different things. He wouldn't allow us to have witnesses. He wouldn't allow us to talk. He wouldn't allow us to do anything. The judge was a tyrant.
He could have had witnesses, and there were some, you know, framework in which the witnesses could testify. You chose not to call some witnesses. That's on you and your attorneys. I'm anxious to see what our guest at 4:30, James Santel, is going to think about the justifications or reasons, any possible ways that this could actually be overturned and appealed. Again, he'll be here at 4:30. Trump continuing cut number 10. He was at this cut, man. I was watching this, and Trump is Trump, but he got angry. He got angry when he was talking about this gag order and he was threatened with jail. You could just feel the don't you know who I am oozing out of him. Let's play the cut 10, please, Rich.
I'm under a gag order, nasty gag order, where I've had to pay thousands of dollars in penalties and fines and was threatened with jail. Think of it. I'm the leading candidate.
Leading candidate. A couple more here from Trump from two.
Oh, no. Let's keep going with the Trump. You dropped out momentarily. Dom, play it for the people, Rich.
I wanted to testify. The theory is you never testify, because as soon as you testify, anybody, if it were George Washington, don't testify, because they'll get you on something that you said slightly wrong, and then they sue you for perjury.
Much like his example he used yesterday, Mother Teresa. If Mother Teresa slept with a porn star and then paid her off and then cooked the books in the advancement of his her political campaign, Mother Teresa wouldn't be able to get off on these crimes.
Yes, exactly. But Crudy, the most egregious, the most terrible thing that happened. It's hard for me to even articulate. I'm just going to let the convicted felon Trump tell you. Cut 12, please.
You saw what happened to some of the witnesses that were on our side. They were literally crucified.
Literally?
I don't think they were actually
physically nailed to a cross. That's what happened? They were literally crucified.
I don't think he understands what that word means. I know I make them up, Trump, but literally means it really happened.
Literally. Now,
there are some willing to take that bullet for you, sir. I feel quite confident, but literally, I don't think anyone got crucified.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Figuratively, I believe, is what you're perhaps were looking for, Trump. You are literally an idiot.
Dom, headline at the Guardian. I wanted to throw it out there while there's time. Angry Trump revisits the escalator where it all began, but this time as a felon. Approximately 6 minutes after 11 a.m. on Friday, you know, radio time, Dom, Donald Trump entered the atrium of the Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue in New York City, wearing a scarlet tie. Behind the former U.S. president, now a felon, stood the same escalator he used in 2015 to announce his presidential bid, triggering 8 years of political chaos. In a long-winded address in front of five American flags, golden walls, and no teleprompters. That's shocking. No teleprompter.
He had some notes, though.
I was watching Fox News' coverage, and it was shocking to me, literally, the reaction of the Fox News host. The worst they could say, he was a little undisciplined. He could have been a little more disciplined in this. I mean, this was like a 30-minute run-on sentence. That was my impression of the Trump speechifying at the Trump Tower escalator where it all began. Takes us back. Come on back. Devil's advocates. We're going to listen to Joe Biden. The real president reacted to the felon former president today. And we've got the sound. We'll play it for you. It's a Friday. You can air your grievances here. 844-967-2789. And we have one of the finest, most coveted guest in radio of all time. I don't know. It's unprecedented. The fact that we've got James Santel on a Friday.
I've never seen anything like it before.
You'll have to see what we mean. He is a fine guest. I'm sure you'll stick around for it all, because this is the greatest radio show ever. Somehow we're going to top yesterday.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights, was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
I'm Phil Briggs, a Navy veteran and host of the weekly radio show CBS Eye on Veterans. I've been wondering how some people manage to defy age and stay incredibly active into their golden years. Just ask my fellow military vet, Chuck Norris. You'd never know it, but the guy's 84 years old and still looks amazing. Now, Chuck Norris's key to longevity started when he created Morning Kick. Morning Kick combines 10 supplements in one. Morning Kick has probiotics to help shed those extra pounds and prebiotics for healthy digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and some of the most potent anti-aging supplements you can find. If you've been searching for that extra boost of energy, want to enhance your overall well-being, or just want to feel younger, go to roundhouseprovisions.com. That's Roundhouse Provisions. Use code SHOP or text SHOP to 511-511 and claim 40% off and a 90-day satisfaction guarantee. Text SHOP to 511-511. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA, and this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and text fees may apply.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going to get to your calls this segment, 844-967-2789. We have James Santel, former U.S. attorney, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So be patient. We promise we'll get you in. I just want to throw a couple of these notes out since I took the time so you didn't have to listen to a little bit of Trump's speech today. We played a few cuts before we hear the real President Biden comment on this. A few more things that Trump had to say, I think, are very important for our audience to recognize, because Trump thinks that Biden's going to raise your taxes by four times.
Only if you're a billionaire.
Raise your taxes by four times. Now, is he going to raise it four times, like 400%? Is he going to raise it four different times? I wasn't quite clear. Also, he's going to stop you from having cars. Yeah, he's going to stop you from having cars. We talked about the gag order. He talked about, which I kind of got into, the crimes that didn't exist, right? Right. The law expenses, the legal expenses that were in fact legal expenses. Talked about falsifying business records, but these are legal expenses. But he kept kind of bouncing back and forth. He also said this trial.
That's very charitable, bouncing back and forth. That's
yes.
I would say rambled on maniacally, but please continue.
He said the trial, it, quote, used salacious, unquote. I think he was saying that they were allowing salacious details to be entered into the record. But, of course, he doesn't mention that his attorney brought that all on himself. But then Trump followed up with that after the used salacious with nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happened. Oh, it was dropped by the SDNY, who's very respectful, very respectful. What else? Then he talks about Weisselberg. Oh, they were the deranged man. They wrecked the life of a very, very good man.
Over a car payment.
And he says, cars, I mean, everyone, oh, you all have cars here. I mean, somebody, I don't know. I guess you do need to report it. He ultimately, at the end of a three-minute ramble about cars, acknowledged, quote, I guess you do need to report it. Oh, man.
Don't report it?
And then he talks about, now he's talking about witnesses. He's talking about Cohen. Cohen, highly respect, highly professional. Then he went out to say he's a sleazebag. Non-disclosures, totally legal. And he said, finally, and there's more, but I'll wrap it up here so we have time. He's honored to be included in this, you know, situation, this lawsuit, because he's fighting for our Constitution. So he's doing it for you, folks. So,
well, he'll be further honored, like, 54 more times, because there are some other outstanding indictments.
Indeed, there are.
While there's time, let's get Joe Biden in here. Joe Biden, I was very interested to see if the current president, Joe Biden, my president, would address the conviction, the felon, his opponent, Absolutely did. Let's play it for the people. I don't know what the count is. Don, why don't you count the numbers?
Start with cut one.
Like millions of Americans who served on juries, this jury is chosen the same way every jury in America is chosen. It was a process that Donald Trump's attorney was part of.
Yeah, amazing how that happens. Let's blast them out. Cut two, please.
The jury heard 5 weeks of evidence. 5 weeks. And after careful deliberation, the jury reached a unanimous verdict. They found Donald Trump guilty on all 34 felony counts.
Let's keep going. Biden cut three.
The American principle that no one is above the law was reaffirmed.
Yeah, what's Trump going to do now? Cut four.
Now he'll be given the opportunity, as he should, to appeal that decision just like everyone else has that opportunity. That's how the American system of justice works.
Is it? How does it really work, President Biden? Cut five.
Donald Trump was given every opportunity to defend himself. It was a state case, not a federal case. And it was heard by a jury of 12 citizens, 12 Americans, 12 people like you.
And the final cut, Trump being reckless. Cut six.
It's reckless. It's dangerous. It's irresponsible for anyone to say this was rigged just because they don't like the verdict.
That was the best point of all, of course. That's the part that's been shocking, is the claiming, not just by Trump, but by almost the entirety of the Republican Party, the media on the right, Fox News host, they're all challenging the verdict of the jury. And that's not the way it's supposed to be done.
How is this?
They're undermining the justice system.
You could play that same quote and cut out jury and or verdict and put in election, and that's the same folks saying the same thing. This is how they do it. It's not shocking. It's on par.
Well, I thought they were overplaying their hand, and I actually thought that you, for a change, had some salient thoughts on this topic, Dom. I think it is a complete overreaction to blow it up and say it's rigged and the justice system is broken and they've come out and they've attacked our guy. I think it's all too much. And you said it's the long game. Why are they doing it like this, Dom, to your opinion?
Because, in my opinion, when the Georgia case comes down, when the D.C. case, when the documents, the espionage, 31 charges in the Espionage Act come down, and he's found guilty of some very serious, way more serious than these two misdemeanors combined to a felony. These are very serious. These come to the fundamental parts of our country. When he's found guilty of those things, he's going to serve some serious, serious time. They're prepping us for what's coming.
844-967-2789. Let's try to sneak in some callers from the audience. Let's start with Kurt today from Madison. Welcome, Kurt. What do you got for us?
Hey, Kurt.
For the love of God, it's religion isn't the solution. It's the problem. Okay.
You've been holding that thought for some period of time, Kurt. But please continue.
I did that for Dom. So anyway,
yeah, thank you.
When he constantly states, we've never seen this in the history of course we've never seen this in the history of, we have never seen an entire government buckle to their knees and kiss his feet. We've never seen half of the country vote for a complete lunatic and still cheer for him. Of course we haven't seen this before. This is insane. The guy is a psychopath, and I painfully watched his entire dribble bouncing around incoherent babble when he stepped out in front of the ones I'm sure that are on payroll in that on the floor of where
I like the ones over there, the cheering ones.
Yeah, I mean, this is insane, and I want this guy behind bars so bad. I'm ordering a sign from VoteBets that says, you know, Trump or I forgot what the name of the prison is, but it's $25. It goes for a vet, and I'm going to put it out there.
Do a Kurt, perhaps Guantanamo, waterboarding, or worse.
I think you owe me a bottle of tequila. Well, thanks for playing, folks. We are the Devil's Advocates. Our pal, former U.S. Attorney James Santel, going to join us next. Stick around.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Perry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. How badly will Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions hurt him with voters? Marquette poll director Charles Franklin tells Civic Media, maybe not much.
Impeachment didn't move the numbers, and the civil cases didn't move the numbers. This one is a different kettle of fish, but let's wait and see before we assume that there will be big movement in the numbers this time.
The Marquette poll from earlier this month suggests a possible 4-point bump for President Biden. The Wisconsin National Guard is looking for a new leader. Major General Paul Knapp will resign as Adjutant General next week. Governor Evers' office isn't saying why Knapp is stepping down. Knapp has served as the state's National Guard commander for 4 years. Brigadier General David May will lead the Guard in the meantime. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Garbage is showing up in the recycling delivered to Portage County Solid Waste. The recycling comes from Wood, Adams, Portage, Marathon, Wapaka, and Washera counties. In just 3 days, workers pulled small appliances, tires, buckets of rocks, carpet, and many other items that are not recyclable at their facility, including 2 loader bags of bagged recyclables and loose plastic films and bags. Bagged materials pose safety risks to workers, and plastic films and bags can jam the sorting line. Please check your municipality on what can and cannot be recycled. You can read the full story and find links to your county's recycling website at WFHR.com. You can participate in a housing survey in Wood County. The results will help supplement existing data and determine strategies to improve housing availability and affordability. You can check the City of Wisconsin Rapids Facebook page for the link to the survey. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Vanna White is not ready to retire just because Pat Sajak is hanging it up after 41 years. Sajak's last episode of Wheel will air June 7th. The 67-year-old White says she never would have thought she would have been at the job for 40 years, but loves that she doesn't play a character, is just herself, and gets to give money away. You could try to find something unlikable about Vanna White, but you would not be successful. Jerry Seinfeld cannot stay out of the news lately, but at least he admits he's not a real man. What? You heard it right. Seinfeld says he misses the days of the 60s, when there was a hierarchy that started with manly men at the top like JFK, Muhammad Ali, and Sean Connery, who, by the way, openly admitted to slapping multiple women. Nice comp, Jer. Seinfeld says he is not a fan of toxic masculinity and admits he never made it to real man status because he became a comedian, which allowed him to remain childish. Yeah, that's why. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few showers and thunderstorms around tonight with lows in the upper 50s and mostly cloudy for tomorrow, scattered storms and highs in the low 70s. Back into sunshine and upper 70s on Sunday. More storms likely Sunday night and Monday. Right now it's 80.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead ass and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever. Only at the DevilRadioSwag.com. Because we got bills too.
Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at HerbalAspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from HerbalAspect.com. Code Devil Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a new program in La Crosse trying to keep items out of dumpsters and put them to better use. Also a round of the good, the bad, and please let's not do this. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. It's getting better right now. We are joined live via stream by a fine guest. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, host of Amicus, a law review. I believe that's right. Is it? Am I close, Jim?
Hey, Jim. You're spot on, as always. As always.
Exactly. Well, not right. Always. I 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday morning, tune in for Jim. But, Jim, I was a little pessimistic about the Trump outcome, the verdicts in the Trump hush money trials, it's called, voter deception trial, as I think the jury ultimately decided. But, Jim, I didn't see a verdict coming down yesterday. And I certainly didn't see the 34 unanimous decisions, guilty, 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 my friend.
I was telling people that I thought we'd had a verdict by just about now. And that's the reason I was delighted to accept your invitation to be here, because I thought we'd be getting a verdict right now. I thought it would take a couple of days, but I think it is a reflection of a number of different things. One is, as we have talked before, this was a powerful prosecution. Every so often you see a case, we've seen them often in the United States history, where you think, okay, credibility issues, all kinds of things. This is a powerhouse case. And it was well-structured, well-designed. One of the things I would offer is these were experts doing this. These folks, these prosecutors knew what they were doing. They put this together in a reasonable way. They prepped these witnesses. They worked with Michael Cohen and making certain his demeanor was good. Stormy Daniels, this was expertly well done. The closing argument was spectacular, taking on the issues from the other side. And so I thought, gosh, there's simply no way that certainly 12 people could not acquit this man. And I thought it was compelling enough that they would be conscientious and go through this, but do this fairly quickly. The other thing that I noted, again, about the jury, equally competent, equally expert doing what they're doing. What were they doing? They were taking notes, right? And even when they came out after some of those questions, they were leaning over the bar, if you will, and listening to what the judge was saying about circumstantial evidence. This was a competent jury and an awful lot of signals there that they were getting this right. They were doing their job well. The larger story I'm telling here is when you rely upon expertise and you don't condemn people who know what they're talking about and knew what they're doing, which again is a lot of our politics. It's right now in the Supreme Court as well. Good things can happen. Justice gets done. If you distrust the scientists, you distrust the people who know what they're doing, the experts in the world, then you get bad results. This is just the opposite. A jury doing a lot of critical thinking, taking its assignment seriously, and a prosecution, and I'd also say a judge, who knew what they were doing and did it well.
Jim, perhaps more shocking to me than the verdict and the rapidness with which it came has been the response, not just from Donald Trump, and that's not shocking, but the response of the entire MAGA world, the entire Republican world. They're going all in, triple down on this, Jim. It's a rigged trial. It's a scam outcome. It's the justice system perverted. I mean, some of the things I've heard said, it would be different if they grabbed this guy up and threw him in a cell without due process, and he was still rotten in a cell somewhere. That would be perhaps matching of the claims I've heard. But this is kind of scary, Jim, and I'm hearing it from right-wing media. I'm hearing it on the talk shows, and it's not just the host. The Trump supportive, they're like, go get your gun. Who do I shoot? That seemingly is the temperament of a certain portion of the electorate right now, Jim.
It is shocking. The adjectives fail me as well. And it is also the person who's third in line for the presidency of the United States of America saying the same kind of thing. And what is the danger of that? Yes, number one, I recognize that there's a political component to that. And you've got to play some game there where you're feeding into that so-called base out there. But there's a larger consequence to this. And that is what you're saying now is that the very institutions of our government are not to be trusted. The juries don't work properly. The judges are corrupt. The prosecutors on the take. Again, Donald Trump has been saying that consistently. And yet now it has plainly spread across the board, as you said, to so-called journalists. They're really not. Members of our government spent some time recently talking about Sam Alito and his cynicism, his contempt for the basic ways in which we do our work. commenting about the inadequacy of grand juries and all sorts of other things out there. This is the same kind of thing. You are sending a message from the highest levels of government and other places of authority that you should not trust anything you see, and especially do not trust government. Justice is not being done in America. And again, that's my other concern, is when you begin to go down that road, the violence is perhaps not too far behind it.
Yeah, it's hard to call them the law and order party these days.
Absolutely.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, the Law Review on Saturdays on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Central. Check him out. A little preview today, Jim. Thank you for answering the call. I thought about you right away when this thing came down, man. Joe Biden said today, we played some of the quotes, it's irresponsible for anyone to say this was rigged just because they don't like the verdict. I am less shocked, because I could say the same thing. It's irresponsible for anyone to say this thing was rigged just because they don't like the results of the election. You know what I'm saying? This is the same mentality, the same thought, the same feeding, the same words with just, you know, different topics. It's the same. So I am not at all surprised. I fully expect this. But I want to get your sense, Jim, on some of the specific arguments that the right are making. Yes. One of them, the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission witness, was kind of boxed in. He could testify, but he was limited in what he could offer. Trump seemed to take some issue with that. What was your sense on that portion of the trial? He ultimately did not come in.
Right. It did not. Right. And so what you have here is plainly, once again, the larger issue there, it goes to the conveyance, the delivery of justice, right? Because you've got a judge there who's making determinations about what does in fact come in and what doesn't. Recognize too, the other side forgets this, there are many things that Alvin Bragg and his team wanted to introduce, and the judge says, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Motions in limine is what those are called. Here you've got this package, this unit of testimony, and the determination is made that we're going to not only limit that, that's not appropriate, that's not relevant, it is too incendiary. And, you know, the complaint about that, too, falls to my mind on deaf ears, just because it was handled properly in the way that we all expect. Judges can sometimes decide things differently, but until we replace human beings who are schooled, once again, who are experts in these areas, with machines or with AI or something else that would not do justice, you're going to get maybe some imperfections around the edges, but you're not going to get huge problems. This is one of those issues where there was not a huge problem.
So if that's not it, what would you see as the weaknesses or the basis for appeal? What could the Trump team bring forth that you would think might have any sort of bearing on whether or not this thing could actually be appealed?
Sure. You know, there's some legal issues here. I don't think, because they're somewhat untested, we all talked about this before, this elevating, if you will, these misdemeanors into felonies. And this jury instruction, which I think was accurate, that basically said that the government doesn't have to prove the other offenses, that is the election offenses or the tax offenses, but just has to establish there's a tie. You could attack the jury instructions here. You could always find some things inside specific decisions made by the judge. You remember this attorney who was the last witness, disastrous for the defense. The judge was... Exactly. Sustaining a lot of objections there, all of those proper, you know, you can raise the issue that he was not properly given the opportunity to provide all of his testimony. None of those is going anywhere. So you can attack some evidentiary things, some legal things the judge did. This issue, once again, about the statutory authority is there. You can find things in any trial. None of them, to my mind, is compelling here again, because this was so well done. And the judge also made a terrific record on all of those things. All the reasons why he did what he was doing justified. And there's this thing again called deference to the lower court. And that's what's going on here, hopefully at the appellate level when it gets there.
Jim, regarding sentencing, apparently supposed to happen July 11th, just a few days before the RNC here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Kurt and I were having this conversation earlier. What kinds of variables and factors can the judge take in when considering a punishment? Could he go back and look at E. Jean Carroll? Could he look at, you know, other things that Trump has been convicted of, even if not, you know, criminal issues and behaviors and whatnot? Would a judge take in those other factors, or just look at the very specific case before him?
The answer is yes. The judge can go back and do those kinds of things. What's happening right now, people often ask, well, gee, why is this July 11th? Why isn't it tomorrow? What's happening is that the probation office there in New York, we've got in the federal system, state system, putting together all of that kind of information, Dom. And so the judge has before him at the time of sentencing, yes, information relevant to this particular case. He knows it. He sat through it. But also, they will talk about his education, his background. They'll talk about the bankruptcies. And yes, more recently, they'll talk about the criminal conviction of the Trump Corporation, the E. Jean Carroll matter, all of those things. Will also, the judge can also take into account all of the issues that were raised with what I hate to call the gag order, nobody being gagged here. Those things can also be considered by the judge, because what you're doing here is you're no longer finding guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. You're trying to craft a sentence, a result here, a judgment that is commensurate with not only what this person did, but who they are today, what they have done. And in many ways, sometimes defendants get the benefit of that just because it becomes clear they're the product perhaps of some poverty, some lack of education, other things about their lives.
Yeah, poor Don.
Right? It can also go in the opposite direction. So judges have great latitude. They traditionally do not say, I'm going to find that this matter that happened 10 years ago is compelling me to put you in jail for 5 more years than otherwise. But they don't do that. But the law in New York, the law across the country, federal system, state system here in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, is that judges have pretty great breadth of capacity to take in things that would not be admissible during the trial, but they're relevant to sentencings. Why? So they can get it right. They can sentence this defendant for these particular crimes based upon everything that's possibly known about this person. The defendant also has, this is going to be fascinating on the 11th, the defendant has a right to elocution. He can stand up there and talk again to the judge. Maybe it'd be fascinating to see what Donald Trump does, right? But he's got that opportunity. Most defendants take that opportunity. We'll see what happens there against a fair system, but it's, again, premised at sentencing upon getting it right so the judge is imposing a sentence that is really commensurate with who this person is who's now standing in front of him.
James Santel, our fine guest. Jim, when you discuss these things will be discussed, literally the defendant, now the convicted felon, Donald Trump, will be the person discussing these things with a probation officer, right? And I hear if they think the courthouse is bad, they should see the squalid conditions down at the probation department.
I've been in some of those offices. You have. Government offices are not lush. This is not big law, as you know. And so it's not unusual to have tears in the carpet and scratches on the wall and even worse. That's right. He sits down and he's subjected to, I should say subjected. It's he should participate voluntarily. In
drug testing?
Right.
Will he have to pee in a cup? I would wonder.
All of that sort of thing. You want to get a sense of everything that's going on in his life, medical history, including those kinds of things. All of that. Questioned about it and tested on it. Because, again, you want to capture who this person is. And all of that, again, you've got to sit down. Every so often you get a defendant who says, I don't want to participate in that. That, too, then, is known by the judge. And it can inure to your detriment, right? And all of that, the behavior, the failure to be contrite, the failure to acknowledge any of this, these statements he's making right now at this press conference this morning, can the judge take those in? You bet he can. And say, you know what? There's no remorse here. This is not a person who now understands. It's a right to go to trial. I'm not going to punish him for that. But I am going to take into account the notion that he is not acknowledging anything. And a jury has now found beyond a reasonable doubt just the opposite. Can I impose a bit more of a sentence? You bet I can.
Jim, would you perceive convicted felon Donald Trump as a flight risk?
I think it's something for the judge to certainly be mindful of, just because he's got that option. The real answer is probably not. But again, the two issues are risk of flight, danger to the community. There's another category that you might think about. You know, what else can Donald Trump do out there in terms of just compromising our general status? That's a problem, too. The judge should be mindful of all that. And if he's got some concerns about it, he can call the parties in even before the sentencing to address some of that.
Well, that would put it before the RNC. I wonder if Trump will be in Milwaukee for the RNC. Jim Santel, you better stick around. We got more questions for you, my friend. All you stick around. You're listening to what some describe as the greatest radio show ever. But again, yesterday, going to be tough to top.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger. With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
There are special days in May. Mother's Day is huge, thanks to all the moms. Then Armed Forces Day, we appreciate our servicemen and women. May wraps up with Memorial Day, when we remember and thank those who sacrificed for our country. Thank you from everyone at Crockett Septic. May might be a month where you have a special event and need a porta potty. Or maybe your county septic reminder card came in the mail this month and you need it pumped. Just give Crockett Septic a call and we'll help you out. Call 715-712-3456.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Attention landowners, got big summer plans for your property? Then here's an offer from John Deere you'll really dig. Get 0% fixed rate APR for 60, 72, or 84 months on 1, 2, 3D, and 3E series compact tractors. If you've always wanted to get in the seat of a powerful John Deere machine, now's a great time. Offer based on dealer participation. For complete finance details, call toll-free 1-800-468-8501 or online at johndeere.com/compact tractors.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, continuing with our pal James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Check it out. Jim, one quick question regarding, again, the sentencing of Donald Trump on July 11th. How much goes into the decision? How much is weighted to deterrence versus punishment in your judgment, sir?
I would wrap them all together, frankly, Dom. You know, deterrence, as we've always said, has these two parts. One is you want to deter the individual, that's specific deterrence. You want to make certain that Donald Trump himself, to the extent you can control this person, stops doing this. And so that's kind of the punishment part of it, right? You want to, if you do in fact impose a jail component of this, you're sending the message, knock it off, stop doing this. That's deterrence as to the specific person. And then you also want to generally deter, which is, hey, if there's somebody else out there, I realize not a lot of former presidents doing this, but other people who are engaging in similar kinds of things, that's the general deterrence. And all of that is wrapped up inside some aspects of punishment with a capital P. The Supreme Court, other courts in the land have said there's nothing wrong in the end, once you've been convicted beyond a reasonable doubt by a unanimous jury, by wrapping into your sentence a certain amount of simple punishment. What you have done is wrong. It's in violation of the basic norms and standards by which we live. You have contravened our basic standards of operation and the things we expect of every human being. And we are going to tell you and others who might do it, we're going to punish you for doing what you're doing. Courts have said there's nothing wrong with that. It is not, you know, taking your pound of flesh. It's not something biblical in that kind of nature. But it is appropriate. It's a possible and an appropriate reason for imposing sentence. You don't want to spend too much time on it again, but you do want to indicate that the society is not happy with you. And so we are responding in a way that is in kind with your criminal conduct now properly found.
Jim, the prosecutor has some say at this point, do they not? Don't they get to make a recommendation of sentencing? Could you see Alvin Bragg saying what, sir? What would be Prosecutor Santel's recommendation?
Right. I can't stand above this prosecution. The judge listened to 3 hours of closing argument. Brilliant, with a capital B. Don't have to repeat all of that. But you can, in fact, talk more. You're no longer talking to a jury. Now you're kind of liberated to talk about the justice and rule of law kinds of things. What are the reasons why? And I think many of us are advocating that, you know, some jail time, it's not going to be 4 years. It's not even going to be 1 year. But maybe...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us on Monday as we'll take a look back over the weekend and launch our new Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Maybe we'll find a pool boy. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.